what I want to answer, what I hope to answer in this year, is really a basic question. Perhaps the most basic question. And that is, what should a person be misfollowed for on Hashem Yom Kippur? What should a person misfollow? What should they have in mind to misfollow? We'll start off with the Rambam says, well known Rambam, Afal pi shet kias shofar be Rosh Hashanah gzeres apasu. Rambam's in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel Halacha Daled. Even though kias shofar on Rosh Hashanah is gzeres apasu, you can't ask for kashrus. So he says, but nevertheless, remez yeshba. There is some kind of allusion here to a philosophical idea. Klomar. Ur yeshenem mishinaschem v'nirdomim hekitzu mitardamaschem v'chifsu b'maaseichem v'chizru b'tshuva v'zichru borachem. So a person should wake up from his proverbial sleep, and he should investigate his actions, and he should do tshuva, and he should remember his Creator. Okay. So it doesn't mean only tshuva. It seems this kind of a tshuva that it's referring to is not just a tshuva from one specific chet, but it's referring to a tshuva. There's a tshuva from a specific chet. That's one kind of tshuva, and then there's a tshuva which involves the whole personality, changing the personality. That's a different kind of a. That's a generic tshuva. Of course, we mentioned yesterday, according to the Rambam, every tshuva involves a change in the personality, but there's a difference between individual changes in the personality and an overhaul of the entire personality. There's a difference. Okay. So he says, Elu ha-shokachim eso emes bahav le'azman v'shogim kol shinosam behevo v'rik asher lo yoel v'lo yatzil habitul nafshosechem v'etivu darcheichem u'malechem v'yazov kol echod mikem darko hara. That's the machshavto shel tova. All right, so that's what that's the content of the tshuva. That's why you see it's a tshuva. What is Rambam saying by adding all this? Hashochem esemes ba'avli esman v'shogim koshnosim behevel rikash leyov leyatzel abit nafshasechem v'ativ darchechem aleichem, and change your derech and change your ideas. It means exactly what we said. It means it's a tshuva, not just on a specific chet, but the tshuva, the kol shofar on Rosh Hashanah, summons a person to more than just a specific tshuva, but it summons a person, it announces to a person, it demands of the person that he change his entire approach. That's what the sound of the shofar is. That's what the Rambam says. What I would just like to know is, how does this sound of the shofar really? It's a nice idea, but how does the true idea? But how does the sound of the shofar really? What exactly is in that sound that awakens a person to tshuva? What is in the sound of the shofar? Tkiya, shvam tshuva, tkiya. Where in that sound? What exactly? There must be something in the very sound itself that has to do with the human personality. The sound of the shofar is a sound that is related to a deep idea, which is a deep idea that has to do with the nature of man, because that's what it is. It's asking man to change his ways. So the sound must be related to something in human nature, some idea in human nature that is part of his essential nature, and which it is asking him to change. Okay. Now the question is, how do you go from a sound of an instrument, a mechanical instrument, to an idea that has to do with the human soul? That's what Yad does do with shofar. Really, shofar is a physical mechanical instrument. But the sound of this, the sound produced by this instrument, is a sound of the human soul. How does the halacha make that transition from the mechanical instrument to the human soul? That's the question we have to understand. And that's really, I mean, it's really, if you don't understand that, you don't understand what the Rambam means, that it's that there's a Remez Yeshbo. It's not Remez Yeshbo. I mean, it has to be some kind of an idea, some kind of relationship. There's a certain uniqueness in the sound of the shofar. When a person hears the sound of the shofar, he should see before his eyes some concept, some idea that has to do with a deep understanding of human nature. That's really the sound of the shofar. Rambam says, Remez Yeshbo, it means, even though it's Gzeres HaKasuv, it's not just like every other Gzeres HaKasuv. But this Gzeres HaKasuv is different. This Gzeres HaKasuv has a philosophical connotation that's tied to it. How do you make that transition from the mechanical to the philosophical? The Torah did it, somehow. Okay? Let's just investigate the psalm. What did the Torah say about Rosh Hashanah? Did Kedusha say Yom of Rosh Hashanah? Okay, Parshas Emor. Because Parshas Emor, like the Rav said, is the Parsha of the Kedusha Yom. Dabra b'nei Yisrael lemor. B'chodesh ha-shvi b'echa l'chodesh Yielachem Zichron Shrua Mikra Kodesh. You have again in Pinchas, what does it say? In Pinchas it says, Pinchas is Karbonus, but nevertheless, over here, what does it say? Uvachodesh Ashvi Bechal Chodesh Mikra Yielachem Kamalachas Velo Sasu Yom Tru Yielachem. Yom Tru Yielachem. So I'm not going to go into Zichron Tshuva, Yom Tshuva, that's just it. But basically the Torah makes it clear that the Pasuk says very little really about Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting. The Pasuk says very little about Rosh Hashanah. You think Rosh Hashanah, Yom Adin, it say you talk a lot about Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur talks a lot about it. Yom Kippur, V'nisim es nafshei sechem, and chukas olam, mitish olach, oruz berav, meir, vaderav, tish psu shabaskam. It makes it clear that Yom Kippur is a day of tainus and inui. So you see that Yom Kippur, the character of Yom Kippur is expressed through the Kedushas Hayom of Tainus. Okay? But Rosh Hashanah is just one word, Yom Tri Yelachon, that's all. One word. Why is the Torah so concise and just say and just express the whole Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah in two words, Yom Tri, Zichron Tri, Yom Tri? Why is that so? Doesn't mention anything about them. What's the reason? The answer is, there's only one possible answer. What is the answer? The answer is, everything's included in those two words. There's nothing more to say. Yom Teruah includes everything. It means to say, again, it reinforces the idea that the concept of the shofar strikes at the very heart of the nature of a human being. And Yom Teruah is all you have to say. If you understand shofar, that's what the Yom is. Shofar is the Yom. But you have to understand the idea of shofar. Sound of the shofar is the whole day is formulated, is expressed through this mechanical sound. So the question is, what is Yom Teruah? What is Yom Teruah? So Chazal already were concerned with this problem. So what did Chazal say? So Chazal say, Yom Teruah, we don't know what it means, but we learn it from Tirgamunkelus. Tirgamunkelus translated. Of course, it was known before Tirgamunkelus, but Tirgamunkelus was the one that wrote the precise formulation of the minimal amount of Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore Tirgamunkelus says, that's why Gemara says Tirgamunkelus is Misinai. Uviyarcho shviyo bechod liyarcho mora kadosh yehelachon kol yividas pulchon lo savdun. You shouldn't do any melachas avodah. Yom yabova yehelachon. Okay, so Unkelus translates shua to mean yabova. Same thing in Emor. Duchran yabova maora kadosh. So everything seems to be. Everything seems to be concentrated in that one word, Yabava. So the Gemara asks the question, what is Yabava? So what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara says, Yabava we learn out from Aim Sisra. Gemara says, Dechsiv, Yom Tri Yelachem and Targamini Yom Yabava Yelachem. Dechsiv, Beime de Sisra. So the Pusik describes where the mother of Sisera, in Shiras Devorah, where the mother of Sisera, who was waiting for her son, who was the great general of the forces of Canaan, and he was at war with Klal Yisrael, and she was waiting for her son to return. And it was getting late, and he wasn't returning. So the pasuk says, "Ba'ara chalon nishkefa." She looked out through the window, "Vatiyah beveim Sisera," and she cried, "Ba'ara eshnav." Madua boshesh richpo lovo, madua echru pame markavoso. So she started to question, why is he being, what is detaining him? Why is he being detained? Why don't I hear the successful pounding of his chariot returning? And she started to cry. So apparently, the Gemara says that that's where you know what Yabava means. So Yabava is derived from the case of Aim Sisera. And it's not just the limud itself. But I think that the idea that is involved, that is mentioned in the Aim Sisera, is really the idea of the shofar. What is the idea of the shofar? Let's take a look, really. Where in the Torah do you have shofar? you have shofar in the Torah in another case. In one other case you have shofar. Where's the weather? Yeah, that's different. I mean, that's something else. That's called shofar. That's different. In halacha, you have it in the parsha of Balos. All right, parsha of Balos. So in the parsha of Balos is the only case where you really have an extended treatment of what exactly true is in the Torah itself. As a matter of fact, before you get to the Aim Sisera is a limud. It's correct, but before the word Yabava is not just mentioned one time in the Torah by Rosh Hashanah. It's mentioned in a different place. It's mentioned in Balosha. Where is it mentioned in Balosha? In Balosha, it's mentioned like this: the mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu received. It's in Balosha Yud. Miksha Tasa. So it means that these chatzotros were supposed to be used for two purposes. One purpose was if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to speak to the Nisim or to the entire Klal Yisrael, so then what would he do? So then he would blow on the chatzotros, like the next pasuk says. The saku bahein, the noah do elecha kol ha'edo al pesach al ma'ed. So one purpose of the Chatzotros was to call the people together or to call the Nesim, depending on what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do. And the other purpose was Masa HaMachanos. So the pasuk like this. The pasuk really spells it out. The Saku Bohem V'Noah Do Elecha Kol Ha'edo Pesach HaMoyah, that's one. Vim Bachas Yisko, in other words, they use two, so then it's the Kol Ha'edo. Vim Bachas Yisko, but if they use one Chatzotros, the Noah do Elecha Hanesim Rashi Alpha Yisrael, right? Then the Nesim count. Then it says, Pasuk Hey, Uskatem Trua, the Nasu Hamachanos Hakonim Kedma. What is that referring to? The Pasuk says, Lemikra Eidos, so it explains what Mikra Eidos is in Gimel and Dalid, and then it returns to what is Masas Hamachanos. So Uskatem Trua, Nasu Hamachanos Hakonim Kedma. So they started to move from the east. Uskatem Trua Shenis, the Nasu Hamachanos Hakonim Kedma. Trua Yiskul Masayan. What does Targum Unkel say? He says Yabevta. He says the Sisku and Yabevta, the Yitlun Mashriyosa, the Shoran Kedma, the Sisku and Yabevta Tinyonas. Same word, Yabava, the exact same word. Same word that you find by Yom Trua. So it's interesting. Even before you get to the translation of Yabava from Aim Sisera, which obviously has to do with the idea of the shofar. We'll get back to that in a little while. Let's just leave that go for a moment. But let's look at what the Torah, we know what it means now. It means crying. Now let's take a look at what the Torah does. The Torah has the same idea of trua. The same idea of trua, interestingly enough, is not only on Rosh Hashanah. But the same idea of tshuva was existed in the Midbar, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to either call the people, or the same idea of shofar, of tkiyas, I'm sorry. It's chatzotras, but tkiyas. The same idea of tkiyas existed in the Midbar, when either he wanted to call the people, or if he wanted to move the machal. They had to move from place to place. But there's one difference. What's the difference between calling the Eidah, the Mikra Eidah, the Masa, as a machanos? There's one difference between those two. What's the difference? The pasuk says the difference. Uskatem Chua Shenis, we just did a pasuk, Vinasa Machnas Chonim Taimana, etc. So the Chua Yisku Lamasa. Whenever they move, you require Chua. Okay? Yabava Yisku Lamata Nameo. But Uvahakilas Akal. But then the Torah continues. Uvahakilas Akal, but when you want to summon the people, it says Kisku Velosaria. But there you must not do it. It's an interesting thing. The Gemara in Sukkah in Daphne Gimel, he's in a machlekes of Yudin the Chacham. But the plain shot in the pasuk is like the Chacham and the pasuk like the Chacham. Which means to say there are two separate sounds. One sound is tkiya, that's what pasuk, and one sound is trua. And the Xeris Akasiv was, that when the machne wants to move, what do you require? You must have tkiya and trua. Tkiya and trua. But when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to call the people, he wasn't permitted to use the Chua. Tisku velosaria, no Chua, just Kia. Okay? It's interesting. Okay. Then again, further in the parsha, you see this idea was extended, the sound of the shofar. But this isn't the shofar, this is the chatzotros. But the same character of the sound. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be permitted to make make an equation between this and between shofar on my own, because this chatzotros is not shofar. But the Gemara does it Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara derives, even though this chatzotros is not shofar, but the character of the sound of Yabava is the same. The Maisa is exactly the same. The question is which instrument to use. So sometimes you have to use chatzotros, sometimes you have to use shofar. But the idea of true, it's not a different true, not a different idea of true and chatzotros, and a different idea of true and shofar. It's the same idea. The question is which instrument to use. Now, you have, what is the pasuk saying? Tesvah chisavo mochoma ba'atzchem ala tzara tzoroschem v'ariosem machatzotros. Again, what sound do you have to produce? The sound of shur. Yabava. Okay. Now, what was the idea of masa samachara? So Rashi says, very interesting. What's the whole idea? What's the whole concept of aselu choshtei chatzotros kesem? So Rashi says, she yutokin lefonecho kemelech. Vayihi b'shur en melech means Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the first melech. So it means the halacha was that when Moshe Rabbeinu had to summon the people, so it wasn't proper for him to go around calling the people. But the kohanim, the kohanim would blow in the chatzotros, and what would happen? They would be tokeya in front of Moshe like a melech, and so it was really covered for Moshe Rabbeinu. It was covered from Moshe Rabbeinu that when he called the people, that's the way it came about. Now, what happened by Masas Hamachanos? So Rashi says by Masas Hamachanos, so like this: B'shas Siluk Masos Tisku Behen Lasimen Nimtzasat Omer Al Pishlosha Yunosim. They used to move by three things: Al Pi Hakadosh Baruch Hu, one; Val Pi Moshe, two; Val Pi Chatzotzos. So there were three things that they needed to in order for the machna to move. What does it mean? Three things for the machna to move? Machna to move? You need one thing. What does it mean? Three things? Well, what's the idea of moving three things? Okay, you have to know when to move. So we want a signal. You move. What does it mean? Al pi shlosha, al pi akarish baruch hu, al pi moshe, al pi chatzotros. What it means is like this. See, masa machanos was more than just a practical thing. It means that Hakadosh Baruch Hu would determine when to move through the right, like it says in the parsha before. The whole system. All the parsha before. Pirshem Yachna, Pirshem Yisrael. It's Mishmeshem Shemaru, Pirshem Yad Moshe. So what does it mean? It means to say that there's something more here than just the practical movement of the people in the desert. Alpir Hashem Yachnu, Alpir Hashem Yisroish, Es Mishmeres Ad Hashem Shamoru, Alpir Hashem Biyad Moshe. It means like this. The Masa HaMachano symbolized something. What did it symbolize? It symbolized the idea of the destiny of Klal Yisrael. Where the destiny is, where the person lives. It meant that they were alone in the desert, stranded in the desert, and they didn't know where to go, and their destiny was determined by the Masa HaMachanos. But in this destiny, it says there were three ingredients. Three ingredients. One is Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the determinant. That's one. But two, the second ingredient was who? Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there was a third ingredient. The third ingredient was the sound that it was the sound of Tshuva, Yabava, the sound of Yabava. So you see, Yabava was tied. It was involved not just on Rosh Hashanah, but it's involved really in the whole idea of the destiny of a human being. What does it mean to say Alpi HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course, it has to be Alpi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean Alpi Moshe? What does it mean Alpi Moshe? It means that the destiny of an individual cannot be determined through HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. If a person tries to determine his destiny just through God, he has to go astray. Impossible for him, totally impossible for him to ever come up with any idea that will lead him in the proper in the proper manner. Through HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone is not enough. After Matan Torah, what is required? What's required is Moshe Rabbeinu. It means you must have the interpreter of Torah Shabbat Peh. Without the interpreter of Torah Shabbat Peh, a person must go astray. So the person's destiny must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a gap between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the person. A gap that a person could never bridge. And there's only one way to bridge that gap, and that is Al Yedei Moshe. Moshe, excuse me? That's the nature of man. That's the nature of man. The nature of man is such that he can't approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. There's a distance between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And whenever the distance, a person tries to bridge that distance, he falls into one thing. He falls into Avodah Zarah. That's what every religion really tries to do. Every religion tries to bridge that gap between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man. And they always fail. They always fall into one thing, Avodah Zarah. The only way, and that's why Rosh Hashanah is an interesting day, because Rosh Hashanah, which is, you see, Chazal say, what does Chazal say? Rashi says on the last pasuk, "V'yom simchaschem of moadechem of Rosh Hashanahchem uskatem b'chatzotros ala losechem v'alzivcha shalmechem voyelchem lezikon lefnei lekechem ani Hashem lekechem." So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Mikan lamadnu malchius in zichronos v'shofros." Over here we learn that you have to have Malchus together with Zichronos and Shofros. Why? Shenemo Eskatem and Shofros, Zichronos and Zichronos, Ani Hashem Elokechem Zu Malchus. What does it mean to say? It means to say that if a person just wants to have a Zichron before God, that's what he emotionally wants. He wants a Zichron before God. And even if he has a Shofar, it's still not enough. There's something else he needs. He needs Malchus. And Malchus is a very delicate concept. In Malchus, a person must recognize not just his closeness to the Rabbi Nishlalam, but he has to recognize his distance also. If a person makes a mistake in terms of his distance, then he has the wrong idea insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned. By Har Sinai, what do you have? The Balto Esahor Sovav Lomar. That there were gvulim, different gvulim that were established around the Har. And different individuals were in different groupings that were closer and closer, Moshe and Aaron, the whole Seder of how the setup was. It means to say that a person must never try to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu too closely. Al Yalu Lalos Bahar Penyeras Bam. It means Penyeras Hashem Liros. It means to say that there's a great danger. And if you look at our Tfilas, Our tefillos express really both. And I mentioned this many times before. Our tefillos express not just the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the distance as well. Because with all the tefillos say very little. Maisei Elokeinu, Imru Elokim, Shvachos, but the Shvachos are removed. That's why the tefillos really, if a person would just translate the tefillos, they'd be very unsatisfying to a person who is on an emotional level and just wants to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tefillos sound distant, and there's a reason for the distance, because Hakaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malchias HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that a person understand not just the Ashgachas Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's closeness from one side to man, but also the great distance, the unfathomable gap between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man. Man cannot perceive, he doesn't understand how far removed he is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Melech Elyon, Melech Evyon, the difference. That's really the beauty of the tefillos. To me, when I see the tefillos in Rosh Hashanah, the beauty of the piyutim and everything is the beauty in the fact that it's precisely formulated. If you look at the tefillah, very precisely formulated. How we can approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Shvachos, but at the same time, the distance, the great distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, that together with the Zechronos and the Shofros must be Malchus. The distance is, we bridge the distance, and that's the problem of Yadus. The essential problem of Yadus is, how does a person relate to the Borei Olam? Yotzer, the Yotzer HaKol. How does he relate to the Yotzer HaKol? It's almost impossible. If it wouldn't be for Torah, we wouldn't have any way of knowing how to approach God. Recognition of God, yes. Einstein also recognized God. But Einstein had no way of approaching or relating to the Creator. We couldn't think of any way. And the reason is because no person can ever think of any way. The only way you could know is from the Yotzer HaKol, from the Borei Olam himself. And that is only given to us through Moshe. That's the link between Moshe Rabbeinu. That's really the benefit that we have, that we receive the Torah, that we can bridge that gap. Only through carefully listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the second ingredient. Apir Hashem Yisu, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, then Moshe Rabbeinu is two. Without Moshe Rabbeinu, there's nothing. There's a Karas HaBorei, but that's it. Nothing more than a Karas HaBorei. See, Avraham Avinu bridged the gap through what? Through Nevuah. Because he was Ben Arboim Shana Hikir Avraham HaBorei. It was Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But after being Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. He couldn't do anything more. Then through Nevuah, Lech Lecha, Me'atzecha, Me'umoladetecha, and then started the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man through this one individual who had the true Akar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was built the whole Kol Yisrael and the whole Matan Torah and everything. Mamlechas Kohen of the Kadosh. But it could never have been done without Nevuah. Without Nevuah, it can't be done. And that's why a great philosopher, if he's a true philosopher, come to the conclusion that he can't do anything. That's the conclusion. Just Hakara. That's all we can do. So the second ingredient has to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Then there's the third ingredient. What's the third ingredient? Trua Yisu L'masayim. The third ingredient is Trua. The sound of the shofar. It's an amazing thing. This Alpir Hashem Yisu, Alpir Hashem Yachno, Alpir Hashem Yiso, Es Mishmeres Hashem Shemoro, Alpir Hashem Biyad Moshe, is not just talking about a logistical problem of how the Jews went through the Midbar. It's talking about the whole philosophy of Yadus, the Masos. That's why they had to move that way. That's why it had to be such a camp. The camp was set up precisely. They had to move with precision, specific all the halachas. With the Mishkan in the center, and the Levim, Shomrei Mishkan, and then the Shvatim, the way they were set around everything was worked out precisely with ideas. Why? Because this wasn't just a nation moving around practically trying to get to a certain land. It represented the movement, represented what it represented, the whole destiny, the whole philosophy of Kol Yisrael was expressed in the Masos. And the Masos had these three ingredients: HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Trua, the sound of Trua. So apparently, again, we find in the sound of Trua, is not just Tama sound. It's the whole. It's not a mechanical sound. It's a concept, a deep concept. What is the sound of the Teshuva? That's the question. What is the sound of the Teshuva? You see, the halacha was uvahakilas akohol tisku velosariyu. Not allowed to do the Teshuva then, because that's just for a practical purpose. That's Bakilas HaKol. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to speak to either the Edom or else to the Nesim, so it was Tisku, but not Shura. There it's not appropriate to do Shura. If you do Shura then, so then you're debasing the whole idea of Shura. Because the idea of Shura has a unique meaning, and you can't use that sound for something else. That means you're taking away the interpretation of the sound. So that's why the Xerxes HaKosu was Tisku Veloso, even Isser to do Shura then. The sound of the Shura is a sound of a cry. That's what it is. True as your bubba. What is the cry? That's what I want to know. What is that cry that the sound reflects? It means that in man there is a built-in cry. That a person, by nature, has the tendency to cry. That's a part of human nature. That he has a tendency to cry. Why should he be depressed? Why should he cry? This depression is a part of man. Why should crying be a part of his nature? What is the cry? It brings to mind one Gemara. The Gemara in the Dharm. The Gemara in the Dharm. What does the Gemara in the Dharm say? Gemara in the Dharm says that Shimon HaTzadik said, Gemara in the Dharm, Daftesan Beis, here's the Gemara. Gemara in the Dharm says that, Gemara Dharm says like this. Sanya, Amar of Shimon, Amar Shimon Atzadik, Miyamai lo achalti asham nozir tome elo echad. I never ate a carbon asham. If a nozir becomes tome, so has to bring an asham, one of the five ashamos. Asham nozir. I only one time ate from an asham nozir. Pamachas bo'odom echad nozir min adorom. A person came to me from the south who was a nozir. V'isiv shu yifei naim v'tov roi. The Kavtsosov Siduras Lo Taltalim. He was a good-looking man, handsome, and the locks of his hair were in rows. He had beautiful hair. Amartilo Bini, my son, Maro Isol Hashkas Asarecha Zanoa. What did you see to destroy your beautiful hair? Amale, Roe Hoyisi La Abba Be'iri. I was a shepherd for my father in my town. So I went to fill up water from the well. And I stakalti bababuashli, and I saw my image reflected in the water. So my Yetzirah was misgaber upon me. Interesting. Pochas. What does pochas mean? Pochas means pachas kamayim. Pachas kamayim. It means the instinctual component of man. It runs very quickly. Pachas, fast. It's instantaneous. Powerful. It's overpowering because it's instantaneous. Yeah. Ubikesh the Tardenim and Olam. And he wanted to destroy me, take me away from the world. Amarti lo. So I said to my Yetzer, to myself in other words, Russia, lo matam is goya ba'olam she'ena shalach. Unishu wasalio zrima v'saleha. How could you be haughty in a world that's not yours? With one who, in a short time, will just be rot, will be rima, rotting and kolea and worms. Havodo shegalech kol shemayim. I swear that I shall cut off the hair for Hashem shemayim. So the Gemara says miyad amadati v'nashakti v'arosha. So I got up and I kissed him on his head. Amati lo bini kamocha yibu nozrei miziris b'Yisrael. Olechwa Kosovoma, Ish Kiafli Lindo Neder Nazir Lahazir Larashem. So what is that story? What is the story of this Nazir? What did this Nazir, this great Nazir Min Adon, what did he accomplish? What did he do? He was involved with the struggle that everybody's involved with the Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah is very powerful, and the power of the Yetzirah lies in the fact that it's an instant flush that takes the person over. It's instantaneous. See, time is on the side of the Yetzirah. But in the immediate battle, the immediate confrontation is really in favor of the Yetzirah. But this Nazir min Adoram, what did he say? What did he recognize? There's a formula. He gave a formula there. The formula was the miyatom is God, the olam she'ina shalach. It means that this is a world, you're making a logical mistake. This is a world which is not yours. What does it mean? It means to say like this, that all the Yetzer Hara's convincing methods, the things that he wants you to be involved with, only make sense in a certain framework. What is that framework? The framework is, if it were true that the world was his, which means to say that he has control, he can exercise control over reality, then it would make sense. Then it would make sense. But reality doesn't lend itself to that. It's a fantasy that the person, it's an illusion that the person has that he controls reality. And therefore, he could use his energies and his mind and his powers to have reality conform to his wishes. Best of all, that's not true. It's impossible. To conform to the fantasies that he wishes, there is no reality. Reality doesn't conform to it. And moreover, even if it did conform to it, it's only a short time. There are two reasons why the fantasies have no basis in reality. One is, in fact, reality doesn't conform to them, never conforms to them. And any person who is in search of, who spends his life, like most people, trying to get reality to conform to their fantasies, anyone that does that, is destined to be unhappy because it simply doesn't work. And one time I mentioned, I said, why can't people find happiness? Because they think they know what it is. They think they know, they think they've experienced happiness. Because there were moments in their life when they had a tremendous surge of pleasure. And they think if that surge can only be continued constantly throughout the duration of their life, they'd be very happy. They don't realize that surge is not happiness. It's pleasure. Pleasure is a different thing altogether. And that kind of pleasure, by nature, is only possible at very distant intervals. And therefore, reality doesn't conform to the person's fantasies. That's the first thing the Nazir said. And the second thing he said is he recognizes mortality, which means that a person's fantasies with regard to pleasure only make sense in the back of his mind. He can't think about the Yom HaMisa. If he saw reality that there's a Yom HaMisa, all these pleasures would be worthless. He wouldn't even be able to. If he was going to die tomorrow, the pleasures would vanish. Because the reality of his demise would remove any kind of attachment. That's why really the truth of the matter is that a person's, the reason old age is not so much, and we're discovering it more and more today, is not so much a physical phenomena as a psychological phenomena. Old age is really a psychological phenomena. As a person gets older, it's not so much the way, most people aren't really Olympic champions. So what they can do in their later life, there's not such a great limitation. You know, not as if they were spending their life in athletics. Most people, very few people are like that. But the reason, old age is a mental phenomenon. The person starts realizing that he's approaching death. And the fear of death, the realization of death, is what changes his mental state. So therefore, what he says is, what the Nazir recognizes, this, what kind of a world is he living in? It's one word. It's an Olam Sheina Shalach. That's what he recognizes. Olam Sheina Shalach. Because of that recognition of an Olam Sheina Shalach, that's why this Nazir did one thing. See, this Nazir was different than every other Nazir. Palmachas Boilai Nazir. One time event. What was the difference between this Nazir and every other Nazir? Or every other person, for that matter? What was the difference, really? What was the difference? What do you say the difference is? The fact that he recognizes this? I say no. People recognize this. Everybody recognizes this. To recognize it, almost everyone recognizes at some point in some time in their life. But the difference between this Nazir and every other Nazir was that this Nazir not only recognized it, but he changed his whole He changed his whole life based on it. Death to deafness. He made the transition from the recognition to the actualization in his personal life. That was the difference. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Gemara's next kasha. Gemara says, Maskif lo rav money, maishno asham nasitamet, lo acho. Kol asham as nami lo lech, lo chaytasa. Amal rav yona, hain atayim, kishahin toin nozrin, kishahin metamin v'ravna lang yamein nazirus mischatin. Because of the fact that the other, that ordinarily when they make naziris, most people when they make naziris, they have good intentions. They're toin. They do tshuva, charata, and they make a neder for naziris. But then when they become tamei, they get upset. It's too long. I only accept the 30 days. What's happening now? And now the yom nishan yiplu, and I start counting again the whole thing. Then they get upset. What does it mean? It means to say that the naziris is only an emotional charge of the superego. It's an emotional charge. So yeah, I feel bad, I'm a chote, and therefore I want to accept the zeros. Yeah, but then when something happens, they see it has to be longer than they thought, they're happy to get rid of, I accepted this, I get rid of this, and that's it. That's most people. That's the average person. I'm not a person who never does tshuva. That's not a mishugan, a rush, a person with no das. But a person has some kind of das, he always recognizes there's something wrong. But what's the problem? The problem is kishahin toin, kishahin mispachadim, like Rashi says. He says, then nodrin. Shein a nodrin, shein shemayim, elit l'shem kas menazin and asman. It's a momentary kas. They feel bad, they're mispachadim. It's an emotional kind of recognition. But an emotional kind of recognition, but then when they become tamei, so then they're going to have to start counting again. This is they got rid of the guilt by establishing 30 days. And that's it, basically. It's like people today with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, they're very happy when it's over. I accomplished the third. I finished. If they find that there'd be another few hours, that'll be they'd be mischartin. That's it. It means that that's the way most people relate to mitzvahs, even to Yom Kippur. The thing, how to relate to the mitzvahs? They don't relate to it in a positive way. Rather, it satisfies the superego. Okay, it's also something. Apparently, the Torah wanted to do that too. At a certain level, we have to accommodate all different levels. But that's not really a person that's a gadol, that's a great individual. But this Nazir really made the transition. It wasn't a momentary. When he made that Nazirus, so it wasn't just a momentary reaction that he just wanted to get rid of some guilt. It was a recognition, a change, a whole new Derech HaChayim. Okay, what is now? What is the cry? So what is the cry really? The cry is one thing. The cry is the recognition of the loss of this world. That's what the cry is. The recognition of Olam She'ena Shalach. What does a person cry about? A person cries because he sees that this world is not under his control. And they say it's true about people that become ill. A lot of times a person becomes feeble. What is the worst thing for the person to face? Not so much the fact that the inconveniences. That's hard, of course. But what's worse is the psychological. That he lost control. A loss of control. The fantasy that a person has control is the most powerful fantasy in man. And the loss, the recognition of Olam She'ena Shalach is difficult because man doesn't want to, man can't accept that. Man feels he has to feel that he's powerful. When he's old and he's feeble, he comes face to face to the idea. He can't imagine anymore. He sees clearly it's Olam She'ena Shalach. That's the ultimate cry of a person. That's the cry that's embedded in the human soul. The Olam She'ena Shalach. And whenever a person fails, when the Russia fails, he comes to the recognition that it's an Olam She'ena Shalach. What was the case of the Aim Sisra? What did she recognize at that moment? Every time before he was always came back triumphant. But what happened this time? That was the fantasy last time. All these past times just expressed one fantasy. The fantasy that he has control. But now this time there's something different. He's not coming. She is crying. What is the cry? The cry is the fact that it's Olam She'ena Shalach. That's the Truah. That's the Truah. That Truah, the Torah took that Truah and it placed it in the Masa HaMachanos, that this idea, you can't have the Masa HaMachanos without three things. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two is Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah, the relationship, and three is the cry. Three is the recognition of that part of man that cries when he recognizes it's an Olam She'ein HaShalach. Without that Yabava, there's no commitment to the destiny of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created for man. The Masa HaMachamos. And that same sound was taken and it was placed, the mechanical sound was placed, given over to us as a mitzvah in the sound of the shofar. And the tkiyah, true tkiyah. That's why the Torah doesn't talk much about Rosh Hashanah, because the Torah already accomplished what it wanted to with Rosh Hashanah. How did it accomplish it? Two words. Yom Tshuva Yelacha. A day of crying. What is the crying? The crying is the recognition of the Olam She'ein HaShalach. But the recognition of the Olam She'ein HaShalach, you see, the recognition of the Olam She'ein HaShalach is not enough. With that, what must you have? Malchus. Ani Hashem Elokecha. Because just the recognition of Olam She'ein HaShalach, so then the person will be depressed. Like most people in the world, they have this recognition too. When things don't work out, Olam She'ein HaShalach. What happens? They fall into depression. So they go to see a psychiatrist. But in Yadus, the recognition of Olam She'ein HaShalach has got to be coupled with one thing. Ani Hashem Elokecha. With the Malchus. With the Malchus. And that's when it's constructed. So the Torah really took, it's an amazing thing, the Torah took a mechanical sound that really signifies the whole philosophy, the whole essence of human nature, is all condensed into this one mechanical sound of the Tshuva, of Yabava. Yom Tshuva Yelachem. What kind of a day is it? It's a day of Yabava. A day of recognition of Olam She'ein HaShalach and Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what it is. It's Malchus. What is Malchus? Malchus, as long as a person, as long as the Melech Evyon thinks he's Melech, there is no room for the Melech Elyon. The Melech Elyon can only exist if you get rid of the Melech Evyon. And what is the Melech Evyon? The Melech Evyon is a Melech on which Olam? He's a Melech on the Olam, the imaginary Olam. The Olam She'ein HaShalach. The man has to give up his Malchus. He has to give up his Malchus, and he has to subordinate himself, recognize the Melech Elyon. That's Malchus. That's the Yom Tshuva. The Torah took a mechanical day, unless you know, like the Grah. But if you say it to him every day, the Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis El David. That's the Tehillim in Tehillim. It's Paraglamic. Okay. Paraglamic. An interesting parak. Parak Lamed, he says, the pasuk says like this: Ki rega ba'apo chayim b'rtzono, bo erev yolin bechi v'labokarina. Okay, what does it mean? Ki rega ba'apo chayim b'rtzono. What does it mean? Rega ba'apo. Ba'apo is talking about, of course, a tzaddik. So he means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dovah Malch says, Odcho ad Hashem ki ini sonim. It means to say that David Melech recognized that even though he had troubles and he had pain, but the pain was really there for one reason: to perfect him, to show him, to direct him. So Oduch Vadashem Ki Nisani says, Ki Rega Ba'apo. God is only angry for a moment. It means for a tzaddik, only experiences God's anger momentarily. Immediately he takes the signal and he sees something's wrong. And he removes his emotions from the area and he channels it to the proper area. Then it's chayim b'tzonah. Bo'erev yolin bechi. That means at nighttime when things are bad, he goes to sleep crying. But ba'bokarina. But then when he comes out, he's filled with joy. Why? Because he recognizes the true gain that he made. He forfeited an olam she'ein HaShalach, but he gained chayim. He gained the true life. Taisva says in Rosh Hashanah, Zachreinu l'chaim, what does it mean l'chaim? He says it means the real chaim. It means chay olam haba. That's what he says. So Taisa says, what are we mispal for in Rosh Hashanah? You're not mispal for the chaim, the physical world, the physical life. That's kirega ba'apa. That's a olam she'ein HaShalach. It means the whole concept of Rosh Hashanah. Why does Uteisha say that? Zachrin L'chaim means that? Because that's the Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah means the recognition of Olam Sheni Shalach. So it wouldn't be appropriate to say Zachrin L'chaim L'chaim Olam Hazeh. It's L'chaim Olam Haba. Doesn't mean that we don't look, doesn't mean that the person disregards as an ascetic. It means to say that the primary preoccupation is the Olam which is Shalom. If he partakes of the problem. You see what the pasuk says? But the next pasuk says, he goes back, he says, Vani amarti v'shalvi, bal emot l'olam. It's an amazing pasuk. I said when things were quiet, bal emot l'olam, nothing will ever move me. What does it mean? It means to say that's the force that the Melech recognized in himself, the emotion. See, there are great people, aren't great because they're intrinsically different. They have the same nature. But they do something different. They go beyond their nature. They recognize it. Ani amati v'shalvi, David Melech said, when things were quiet, I said, Balamat lo'olam, nothing can move me, nothing can change me. Everything's going to continue this way. Everything's wonderful. The Ibn Ezra says, what is it referring to? He says, V'anachon kashe yikra labori begufo b'cheskoso. When a person is healthy and strong, he says, sheyachsho shekocha yikra. He says, he feels this is what I'm always going to do. It's a physical, the influence of the physical sense of health and well-being. Health and well-being is so powerful that he assumes, nothing will ever move, nothing will ever change. That's the sense of security that a person has from his physical nature, physical self. He'll never become ill that he'll lose his kachos. He says, but what does the next pasuk say? Hashem b'rtzoncho ha'amadata l'hariyos, but I recognize it's wrong. It is only because of your will that you created my, that you strengthened my mountain, which means to say you gave me the strength. Histarta fanecha, but when you took away, you turned away your face, ayisi nivol. I was completely confused, totally lost, distraught. You see, that was the recognition. That was David HaMelech. That was the greatness of David HaMelech. He recognized the emotion. Emotion is very powerful, but his mind told him that emotion is false. It's an amazing thing. The Radak takes that same parak. I don't know if you have Radak on film. It's hard to get. It's very worthwhile. The Radak takes that same pasuk and he interprets it a little differently, but it's equally true. He says like this. He says that. He says that the Vani Vamati Bishalvi Balamat Lolom Kishayisi Shole Vesheket Shalomashal Biyetzer Hora. He says, when I was quiet, things were quiet and the Yetzer Hora didn't have any control over me. Hayisi Choshev Ba'atzmi Shlo Emot Lo Echtalolom. He says it's referring to the Yetzer. Doesn't mean like the Ibn Ezra says. Not the two Pshat are not exclusive. Both correct. They're both true. He says it's referring to his confrontation with his instinctual nature. He says when he felt he was a tzaddik, when he was doing things right and he was living properly, he had a certain satisfaction, and it's a normal thing. Not every person has this. If a person is living properly, he sees he's learning, he's doing things right, he feels a sense of satisfaction. But he says, but what? That's fine. But what did he think at the time? He says, Balamot lo'olam, shelo echta lo'olam. He felt so good about himself, he felt so secure, that he felt nothing can ever make me sin. Nothing can turn me off the right path. Ki choshavti shlo yekoach b'yetzer hara la'tosi min aderech hatova. I felt the yetzer hara doesn't have a chance. I'm on the right path. Ki sichli hayagover al tivi. Because my mind was exercised supremacy over my emotions. V'yisi mispar b'zeh. I was proud of myself. Ba'atzmi. Achei karti. Until I recognized ki ezrascha amdoli. That it's the Ezer HaKadosh Baruch Hu that really was responsible for this. That's what we said last time. That's the Chazal. That Omole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, a person has false vanity when he thinks he's living a proper life. The reason why he's living, of course it's his Bechira, but he has to realize what his Bechira is based on. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his personal life was good to him and didn't allow him to have the Yetzer Hara in its full-fledged form, because no one can deny it. As great as a Chacham as he thinks he is, if the Yetzer Hara was really perfect, he wouldn't be able to withstand it. It's too powerful. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed is such that he makes the Yetzer Hara imperfect. And the person is trying to find the perfect ideal thing, whatever his type of might be, there is aggravation. What the world's trying to avoid is the greatest bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man. He gives him aggravation. And he tries to do this, doesn't work out. He tries to buy a certain object, there's something wrong with it. Throw it back, bring it back, it's no good, it's not what he thought. All the aggravation that the world is trying to avoid, David HaMelech says, is the greatest chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is precisely the greatest chesed. Because Achi Kartiki has Rascha Amdale. The Chol Zman Shayr Ratzon Chaim Imi Hem Manatel Harios. Okay, so he says like this. He says, Histarto Fonech Hashem Betzon Chaim Manatel Harios. But Histarto Fonech O Yisi Nivo. Avo Kishe Histarto Ponech O Rega Mimene Yisi Nivo Venechshalti Mamach Shavosaik Vigova Yitzri Al Sichli. My emotions overpowered my mind. Lefichach Hispal David. That's why David Malach prayed. And he said, Gam Mizedim Chasoch Avdecha. Al Yim Shiluvi. It means you should save me from chait. So you see, it's an interesting thing. So what is really the ultimate tefillah? The ultimate tefillah that a person should have in mind on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is what? Is really tied not just to a recognition of the Olam Sheinu Shalach, but he should be nispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gam Mizedim Chasoch Avdecha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him, should assist him, and save him from falling through from being a chotei. So you see that the tefillah of the person with knowledge, the tefillah of David HaMelech, is just the opposite of the tefillah of the whole world. Because the whole world's tefillah is just one thing. They just want to be able to avoid all aggravation and just have endless nachas. But David HaMelech's tefillah is just the opposite. Od chod Hashem ki nisani v'yehidu l'Yeshua. That the Yeshua came from the fact that there was an imperfection in the world. How many times is a person Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How many people are Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because they look back in their life and they see when they wanted a certain taiva, and the taiva was so powerful that something happened that they were disappointed and they were aggravated. And because of that aggravation, they were able to forfeit the taiva, and that was for them the greatest Yeshua. Because of that, they were able to direct their energies to the real world of Chochmah, where a person has true satisfaction. That type of a person has not experienced such a thing. It means almost that his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is practically nothing. It's practically nothing. It's gone in the wrong direction, the opposite direction. So you see, the recognition, that is all a part of what? That is all a part of the recognition of the Olam Sheinu Shalach. And if a person doesn't think into it properly, people don't think into it. A person always, everybody says, is there Ashgacha, is there no Ashgacha in my life? The mistake is not a question of the amount of Ashgacha. A person has a right to assume, and a person is chayev to assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him. He's mechayev to assume that way. He can't say he knows for sure. But the problem is, the person is looking in the wrong world. He's looking in the world of the Olam Sheinu Shalach. That's where he wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to assist him. That's the world precisely where there's chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he doesn't assist him. If a person would look into the world in terms of his attainment of his ability to attain ruchnias, to attain true knowledge, to attain sechel, where the sechel is gover on the instincts, like the Radak says, like he expresses so beautifully, if a person would look in that world, he would see plenty of hashgacha. See plenty of hashgacha. As a matter of fact, he'd be chayav l'shabeach l'hodos. Zamru l'Hashem chasida v'hod l'zech hakacha. Then he would really be m'shabeach hakadosh baruch hu. Leman yizamecha. How does the tillam end? That prepared lemon. Leman yizamecha chavod v'lo yidom. And Hashem alakai la'olam ateka. That's a shira. That's a true shira. It's a different kind of a shira. It's a shira of a chacham. A shira of a person who knows what reality is. That's all a result of the yom tshuva. Totally different picture of reality. Totally different concept of what the tefillah is all about. So that's what a person, in order for a person to be mispal on Rosh Hashanah, he has to have these ideas. The Torah apparently saw fit to convey to convey the idea of that's contained in tshuva, the idea of the Olam Sheni Shaloch through the sound of a shofar. Why did the Torah want to convey this idea verbally? The answer is because any kind of verbalization is always a barrier between an idea and that a person between an idea that the individual one individual experiences and the one who receives the idea. Over here, words would not be appropriate. Yeah, on the contrary, it would be a detraction, because a person has to. This is the concept of recognition of the Olam Sheni Shaloch is an inner experience that the person has to realize. It's an inner realization, and each person has to formulate it in his own way. It has to be expressed in his own mind, in his own individual, according to the way he apprehends it, the way each individual apprehends it. So that's why the Torah saw fit just to use the sound of the shofar to express this idea, the sound. Moreover, the sound is the cry itself, and there is no comparison. There's no way any description of the cry is not the same thing as the listening and hearing to the cry. That has a far greater impact. So that's why the Torah took the sound of the shofar. The person should hear the cry and he should experience the cry. That is what is supposed to take place in his inner self on Rosh Hashanah.
Chazal say b'kesel yom chagenu, so it means that the kedusha of Rosh Chodesh is eclipsed. And we mentioned downstairs the reason is because there's three types of kedushas yom. I start over again. All right. Two types of kedusha yom, and then there's a subdivision. All right. Now there's one kedusha yom which man cannot make. Man cannot create. And that's the Kedusha Yom of Shabbos. The Shabbos is from Sheshis Yimei Bereshis, and just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baruch Shemayim Varetz, and no one else, so no one can institute that Kedusha. That Kedusha is instituted by God, and no one can bring it about. So one type of Kedusha can only be instituted, can only be initiated by God. That's the Kedusha of Shabbos. Then there's another, and Yadus has another concept that man can and must and is obligated to initiate Kedusha. And that's the whole area of Mo'adim. Eila Mo'adei Hashem, Ashatikruos Omikroi Kodesh. That means that the Torah is Machayev man to create a Yom, to designate a day, create a day through the calendar, through Beis Din, to establish that day is the day in which we will have a moed, a special meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Yom Tovim. That's the whole parsha of Yom Tovim. The parsha of Yom Tovim, the nature of the Kedushas HaYom, of course, is even that one is borrowed from Shabbos. That's why it starts off with Shabbos Bereshis by Eilam Moed Hashem. It's borrowed from Shabbos, and the form is Shabbos. Same Kedushas HaYom. Same type of Vesem Malacha, in other words. But the Kiddush is initiated by Klal Yisrael. But in both those systems, the Kiddush revolves around an event. Okay, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sukkos, Matan Tarasenu, revolves around an event. But the Kiddush is initiated by Klal Yisrael. With regard to Rosh Hashanah, again, the Kiddush is initiated by Klal Yisrael. But there's one difference between, for instance, the Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh, the idea of Rosh Chodesh is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu also is a Borei Olam. That's Hashem B'Mamar Baruch Chakam Ruch Piv Kol Tzvam. So it's repetition of Shabbos Bereshis, but the answer is not repetition of Shabbos Bereshis. Why? Because Shabbos Bereshis is where God initiates the Kedusha. And over here, the Torah is Machayev that you also should initiate a Kedusha Sayom, which celebrates the idea of Bria Shemayim V'Aretz. So one is initiated by God, and the second one is initiated by Klal Yisrael. So it's not a duplication. the source, the origin is different, even though the theme is the same. So one is, one theme is that only God can initiate. That's one thing. And then another one is that you have to initiate. But now Rosh Hashanah is a different thing. Rosh Hashanah, the Kiddusha Sayyom of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. What does it mean, the Kiddusha Sayyom of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus? It means to say that it, and Zeh Yom Tchilas Masecha, you talk about Bria Shemayim V'Aretz also. And you talk about the Ashgacha, and Rosh Chodesh is also the Ashgacha. So what's Kosh? Because it says, Ateres Tefesel Musay Vatan. It means it's Ashgachas Hashem. But the difference that we mentioned is, the difference is that the Kiddusha Sayyom, we have to understand what Malchus is. What is Malchus? Malchus doesn't mean simply that I'm Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it says Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. Because if that were the whole thing, so then why are you constantly talking about Yemos HaMashiach? This is all extension of Malchus HaKadosh. Malchus, similar to Torah Shem HaVadecha, Kol Masecha, and then Alkin Nekav L'Chadosh HaMakim L'Alas Meretz HaFeres HaZecha, and L'Sakim L'Am Malchus Shekai, and the whole, all this, all the Gula Asida. Why all Gula Asida? Every bracha is Gula Asida. Why is Zichronus also Gula Asida? And then Shepherds also is Gula Asida. Zachrinu b'Zichron l'Fanecha is Gula Asida. Okay, but Shehotz 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 Shehotz. And the same thing with the Shepherds. So why Gula Asida? So the answer we said was that what is Malchus? Malchus is not simply a fact about God. Adon Olam Hashem Malach B'Terem Kol Yetzir Nivra. That's a fact. Kadosh Baruch is the same, never changed. He's Malach now, he's Malach then, even before. But Leis Naso Bechefzo Kol Azay Malach Shmo Nikra. It means that so far as man is concerned, he is Nikra Malach only after the existence of man. Okay? So the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, really, Malchus means the proper attitude that man should have towards God. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating not the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the, not simply the idea HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olam and is the source of the Ashgacha, but we're celebrating the idea, the concept of how man should react to the idea of God. That's Malchus. Means man creates Malchus. Without man, there's no Malchus. There's no Malach Shmo Nikra. So really, the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is not a repetition of Rosh Chodesh, of the theme of Rosh Chodesh. Why? Even though Zikon Echad Ol Lakan Lakan, you see there's a similarity. Zikon Ba Zikon. But it's not a repetition, because the theme is from the standpoint of man. How man should react to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, should react to? Should react to a knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a knowledge of God as the Creator, and a knowledge of God as the source of Ashgacha. So then man should say, that's the reaction. The reaction should be the Yom Hakol Hashem Hashem Biyapa Hashem Lekeso Melech Umachus Bakol Mashova. The Yeda Kofo Ki Atafalto. Means he recognizes the fact that he stems from Hakadosh Baruch Hu's creation. The Oven Kol Yotzek Ato Yitzato. The Yom Hakol Hashem 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 Lekeso Melech Umachus. That's the proper reaction. So Rosh Hashanah is a funny kind of yontif. It's a yontif that's not based upon an event. It's based upon a theme, an abstract, of how man should react to this idea. The proper attitude of man when he has knowledge of his attitude, what's the proper attitude towards God. That's what the theme is. So since the theme is since you're not celebrating an event, but you're celebrating a theme, so you must talk about loss of love, because that's the realization. That's the realization of this theme. The religious theme is loss of love. So you're saying, how should men react? You have to the now it's only in potential, but it'll be realized in Yom HaMashiach. So that's why by Yom Rov, it means to say that the realization of the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the full expression of this theme. That's the full expression of the theme. So that's why the tefillos are all filled with the Gula Asida, because that's where the theme is expressed and realized. You see, it's not just the tefillah for Yemos HaMashiach. What is the meaning? Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. Why is it probably Yemos HaMashiach? So the answer is because that's the theme of Malchus. It's not a tefillah for Yemos HaMashiach. It's a tefillah which incorporates the idea of Malchius, and Malchius is realized only. Malchius will be realized. Malchius Kadosh Baruch will be realized only on Vayayamahu. Okay, Vayamahu Yashem Achadosh Malchut. So that's what I mentioned. Now in the tefillahs we said also, from a Lord standpoint, we said that the first tefillah really of Malchius is the essential tefillah, and then you have extensions. The extensions, the two extensions, Zichronos and Shofros. Okay? And they're two separate themes. But the themes are unified in that they are related always to Malchius. Okay, so first you have the framework of Malchius itself. The tefillah expands on the whole framework of Malchius. And then you have like this. Then it says, but what, How should we be zocha to the Malchios? So then you have two brachas. One bracha is through the Akedah, that's Atta Zocher, and the tefillah of the Atta Zocher, the tefillah of Zichronos, culminates in the tefillah of the with regard to the Akedah. Zochrena b'zikaron tov b'fanecha. Okay, ufakteinu b'fkudas yishuv rachmim shmeish mekedem. And then you bring in his cholon or the shem lekins of bris v'sachesiv v'sashvua. The seol of anecha akeda she'okar avrom avinu sitzchak b'no agave or gavam mizbeach. That's the zechronos. Zechronos is akeda. It means bruchat Hashem zoche habris. It means he remembers the bris between Klal Yisrael and himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he should, and through the bris, we should be zoche to the gula. Okay? And then the third one is through the Tkiyah Shofar, through the Maisa Mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, we should be Zohar. So really, Zichronos and Shofaros are two means for the Malchius. But what I want to do is the Zichronos today. I just want to say one word, one idea of concerning the Zichronos. What is this Zichronos? Elokeinu Elokei Vaseinu, because Shofaros is different. Shofaros is just Kabbash Shofar and Godel Cheresainu. So you have a request. And you tie the request to Tekiyah Shofar, Kiyata Shemea Kol Shofar. Okay. But what is the, in Zichronos, you have an idea here. It says like this. Why is Akedah, what is the Akedah so essential? Akedah Sitzchak is the, Akedah Sitzchak, B'lezaro Hayom Barachim Tiskar. What is the Akedah Sitzchak? So if you take a look at the tefillah explains what the whole idea of the Akedah is. It's Cholon Shem Yizrach Shem Shem Shabbat Lavrim Vin Baha Maria. They say, "Royal afonecho akedo sheokar avrom avinu sitzchak b'no agavim isbeach," and then it explains, "V'chovash es rachamav lasos ritzoncho b'leivav shalim." Ken yichpeshu rachamecho as kascho me'aleinu v'tuvcha agol yeshvanako. Okay, and it's through what Avram Avinu did. So it's interesting, but the tefillah defines what it was. V'chodas es racham av lasos etzoncha b'lev av shalem. Now, what is this idea? What is the idea? Of course, is that he went against his emotions. His own emotions were rachman came from the midah of rachman that he had, which is a wonderful midah, by the way. The Torah always tries to instill rachman, so it came from midas rachman. Midas rachman is a wonderful thing. But over here, he was kovesh his midah of rachman. He was kovesh this trait of Rachmanis. And why? Lasos ritzoncha b'levav shalem. You see, to me, what is the idea of here? Why is it such a central? So what? So it's one event. So is kovesh midasov. So why is this the central theme for the Akedah and the whole Gula? We always go back to the Akedah. Why is it so universal more than anybody else that was Kovesh their midos? Other many, many instances in the Torah you find that the Kvishas Ayetzah, Kvishas is called Dark Ola. I mean, that's, you can't get started about that. So why is this one Kvishas Ayetzah greater than anything else? And why is this the thing that we tie all of the Gula of Klal Yisrael to the Akedah? What is there in that Kovesh's Racham of Lassos, it's not called the Lev of Shalom? Yeah, it is true that, yeah. See, I think this, you have to go one step further. There's something more here. That answers your question. You're saying, V'chavash es rachmav lasas et soncho b'lev av shalem. But that really wasn't me, so you're asking questions of stira. B'lev av shalem is stira to chavash es rachmav. Yeah, but that's really what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that there's a kvishas, The real Kedushas HaYetzer is what? Bedas. Bedas. It means that he was caught between Das and between an emotion, and he went totally over to the side of Das. And the Das permeated his whole essence. That's what it means, Beleva. That's Beleva Shalem. That's correct. That's a once he saw what is the Bechira that he had, he exercised the Bechira, he removed himself completely from the world of emotion, and he functioned completely under the world of Chachma, of Das. Like the Ram says, Kovesh is Yitzro Bedaito. That's what it means, Beleva Shalem. It's good. But I want to get back to the question of Akeda. What is Akeda? See, well, I believe like this, that the world believes that there's such a thing as an ethic that you can have, that man can have, based upon his good judgment, that there's such a thing as ethics, which a reasonable person, can be a good person based upon his judgment, human judgment, kindness, whatever it is, but even like an intellectual kind of judgment, not just an emotional judgment. There are people that were on a higher level in the emotional, but they believe that there's a concept of justice, that man can work out in his mind a concept of justice, an intelligent concept, an intelligent idea of what justice is. See, this is what Yadus is against. What Yadus says is that just like you can't understand God's universe, if a person just wants to sit down and say how he would create the universe, it's nonsense, nonsense, ridiculous. As a matter of fact, that was the mistake of Aristotle to an extent. I mean, he didn't even think, he didn't realize how far removed man is from understanding the universe, and that you can't just jump into to conclusions on how the world works. You have to take first a systematic analysis. So and we say what Yada says is that's the same thing is true with regard to ethics. That in ethics also, man has to subordinate himself to God's chachma. The only way that we can arrive at any kind of ethical truth is through the same process that you use in subordinating yourself to God's universe and God's system, through a process of analysis of the information that we have at hand, and the same way that you analyze halacha, that you have to subordinate your mind to the halachic structures in order to be able to work your way backwards from the structure. If you start analyzing, you work your way backwards to the concept. But you can't just sit down and say you're going to work out halachic concepts. The person wouldn't even get near any of the ideas. Wouldn't even get near any kind of formulation of tefillah or halacha. I mean, tefillah would be an area where you'd think it'd be easy to formulate. Even in that area, a person would never even approach the system, the halachic system of the ideas. So the only way a person can reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, true knowledge, is through a certain method. What Avraham Avinu taught the world is that same method has to be applied in the area of ethical perfection as well. And the only way that you could arrive at the ethical perfection is by going against. Many times you have to go against your own what you would normally think would be the proper form of action. That's v'chavash rachamav lasos ritzon chobaleva shalem. And if you study the Akedah, you see in the Akedah, it was really a process of subordination to Chochmas Hashem, and it was a process, a learning process as well. Because at the end of the Akedah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tishlach Yodcha Lanar, so Avraham Avinu started a question. He didn't question before. We mentioned, because he only questioned when it came to an area where it's possible to have limud, where an area is possible, not stum because he couldn't understand, can't understand, so you have to work on it. But where it became a maisa mitzvah that he couldn't understand, so then he had to question. So he said, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll just How could I be mekayim the mitzvah? How could I? Now it's a tata de sasri, which is impossible to accomplish. So it was a process of limud. It was a process of limud. It means to understand, to be able to understand the proper ethic requires the same approach. That's what I'm going to introduce, really. That's really the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. That's why Akedah is a unique phenomena, because only this nation maintains that that is true, that the ethic can only take place through limud and through a process of unraveling the Chochmas Hashem through the facts that we receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Nevuah. That's the way we unravel the ethic. The ethic is one. It's not like, see, you have in the Umas Olam, either you have people that create their own ethic, or else you have people that subordinate themselves to a nonsensical system, which is based upon their own emotions, of course, to begin with. But it's just it's not a process of learning. We have Yadus as a process of learning and analysis and uncovering ideas of ethics through careful study of the phenomena which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to us through the Nevi'im. That's the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. And that's why Akedah really, that's the Schus Akedah, because that's the most difficult area. Person can listen to everybody, but when it comes to an area of, when it comes to the area of what is the ethical norm, there everyone feels intuitively that they have some kind of an idea. To subordinate yourself in that area is that was the limud, that was the unique limud of Avraham Avinu. That's what we ask, that's the schus that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be zocha habris. To be zocha habris. Yes. This is correct. The yesod of ethics is not, the ethics of Yadus is not just ethics in terms of the philosophical Derech Chaim. It's an ethic that's based upon the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Klal Yisrael. That creates a certain ethic. That creates a certain ethic. Yeah. On the contrary, even how you relate to another human being is only possible really through the book. Because through the book, you know the status of another human being. He has an intrinsic status. How do you know what kind of status he has? He's not worth it. Say he's worthless. What is he? Nothing. So you only know that from, that's God's creation. How God, every Hebrew, the value of each person, the value of human being. You know, you can't, a person can't guess anything. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Right.
That would be your intuition.
That's right. Your intuition would be the other way. That's your intuition would be the other way. That's right. Intuition would be the other way. But that's really the mistake. I mean, that's the mistake. That's unfortunately the mistake of Klal Yisrael b'zman hazeh in general. That the, and that's really why, I mean, when you mispall in Rosh Hashanah, you have to mispall for the fact that Klal Yisrael should gain that knowledge and that they should realize that it is impossible. It is impossible to ever have a secular state. Secular state is impossible. And all attempts to do so must of necessity fail. Must of necessity fail. The only way, and the reason is, you take a look just in terms of world opinion. See, in world opinion, the Arabs are a country, we're a country. So it's just one people against the other. As long as Klal Yisrael doesn't live by Torah, and you don't have the recognition of ki chachmaschem uvinaschem le'enei amin, that they recognize that this is the true system, that these people live by the true system. Every other system is nonsense. In the eyes of the world, it can never be any priority. So it means they always have to look at us just like anybody else. Look at us like anybody else. It's impossible to have justice. It's impossible to have a just situation. But the, so what happens is, unfortunately, I mean, that you have to, that you come to a situation where you're trying to create a peace through camaraderie with Russia that's Russia Shebe Rishayim. I mean, a person that's like a Hitler. So, I mean, it's these kind of things, these kind of situations are a result of one thing, one mistake. The mistake is that Klal Yisrael can exist as a secular entity. The Zohar HaBris is gone. Zohar HaBris is gone. That's what they don't realize. And when you misspell, Rosh Hashanah, I mean, should have in mind that it's not just a tefillah for yourself, it's a tefillah for all of Klal Yisrael, and the whole situation, and Yishmas Baal at the Klal should recognize the truth, the ideas of Torah, and the ideas of that the Nevuah conveyed to us, and the true ethic that can only be brought about through the ideas of Torah.
I listen to this. What is the difference between the tefillah? This broad man saying tefillah. It says the v'chodesh rachmad yasas v'tzorchav lo yashalim. Then you say ki yichbushu rachamecho as ka'ascha mu'alino. So somebody says, what is a ki yichbushu? What do you mean when you say that? What it means is like this: that when Avraham Avinu did that, so then he caused himself to relate to God, because that's when man acts according to his higher element, and then he relates to God. He asks him to lower him, and the element's like an animal. Doesn't relate to God. So it says, just like he, when he did that, he caused himself to relate to you, to God. So you say, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is Kascha? Kascha means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't relate to us. So too, because of that schos, so God should relate to us. That's me, that's a Rachman. Rachamecha means that God relates to us. So it means just like he related to God, so God should relate to us because of that. In other words, he made the move. And we recognize this philosophy and this idea. Because of that, God should remove his midas adin, means where he doesn't relate to us. We live in a state where everything's accidental, and he should relate to us through his hashgacha, through midas rachman. That's what the tefillah means.
We need him. He doesn't need us. Abraham, you say Abraham?
That why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? Only because of the fact that we relate to him through the true ideas. So we remember the Akedah. And the Akedah is the highest level of the whole concept of understanding God, understanding God's derech of ethics. So through that medium, through the recognition of this, of the Akedah, so now we approach God through the Akedah, we approach God. And because of that, God relates to us. That's what it means.